SI in the world. I'm John Batchelor, Hotel Mars. David Livingston, Dr. Space, is my colleague and co-pilot, Hotel Mars, to this stark headline. NASA, Bennu asteroid samples contain water, carbon, and organic, quote, building blocks of life. It's a great pleasure to look at the breaking news of Bennu, the sample returned from the asteroid Bennu by OSIRIS-REx, and to welcome Professor Harold Connolly, professor at Rowan University, but most importantly for this conversation, mission sample scientist OSIRIS-REx. The cup runneth over. The return of the spacecraft lander with the sample inside while OSIRIS-REx goes to other mission. However, the sample, we're told in the original news reporting, was so bountiful it spilled out of the container. They have lots of it. What is it? David Livingston is here, and we're both going to explore with Harold. Professor, a very good evening to you. Congratulations. And now the hard part. What are we looking at? What are they talking about, the building blocks of life? What does that mean? Good evening to you, Harold.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you very, very much. It's wonderful to be back here with you again. You have been with me on this road to success of bringing back the sample over the many years. I think this is our ninth interview together, so thank you very much. And we are very excited about our sample of asteroid Bennu. It is a rock, at least what we've seen so far. And as you might know, there was a big press conference by NASA, and we have discovered clay minerals in the earliest phase of our analysis of material from asteroid Bennu. And that means that these minerals actually contain water. They are bound and trapped water in their structure, as well as a lot of carbon. We found a total carbon 5%, which is really impressive. So our initial analysis is really, really super exciting. And we haven't even gotten to the main actual collection mechanism, TAGSAM, or touch and go sample acquisition mechanism. We have not opened up that particular head yet that contains the sample that was collected. What we've looked at is stuff that leaked out, very fortunately, into the science canister in what we call the avionics deck. So the sample's at Johnson Space Center right now and being processed and cataloged / contained as I'm speaking.
David, you have a question for the professor.
Yeah. Good afternoon, Harold. Given the water content is so high, does that indicate that it's freshly deposited water?
No, it would be water that actually interacted with the rock in a previous incarnation of the asteroid 4.5 billion years ago. And that water changed the original minerals, which did not contain water, and now they do. They're trapped, much like serpentines that we find here on Earth for your listeners who know something about mineralogy. That's the kind of mineral we're talking about. And it is potentially one of the sources of water on Earth, which is why we are so excited.
Why Bennu? What was it you were expecting to find? And I understand there's lots of analysis ahead, but what was the thinking behind Bennu, Harold?
Well, if we go way back in time with the Wayback Machine here, we were interested in going to collect volatile materials from a volatile-rich asteroid, which means a carbonaceous asteroid. And we looked at the Earth-crossing asteroids, which makes our trajectory a little bit easier to get to, which also helps with the cost and the engineering involved in designing and running a spacecraft. And we decided on asteroid Bennu. And then we got there in December of 18 and studied it for 2 years and collected a sample. And in that studying, we actually discovered through our remote sensing that it's contains water on or water minerals on the surface of the asteroid, which we now brought back and have confirmed. So that's really exciting result in of itself that we've confirmed what we observed while we were in orbit around the asteroid.
Is that rare, the Bennu, or there are lots of them up there? You just chose Bennu because of the mission a profile.
Well, our colleagues from Japan chose a different carbonaceous asteroid, Ryugu, and brought back sample. And it also contains the hydrated minerals. So we have these two data points now with asteroids that's really, really super exciting. And that they very well may be some of the bringers of the building blocks of life to Earth. Absolutely.
David, you have a question.
Sure. Could this material, both for Bennu and Ryugu, maybe have come over to it from Mars? Because don't those orbits become very, very close? And could it have transferred from Mars?
No, absolutely not. The dynamics are too complicated for that to be possible. And what we have observed, both with spacecraft and with our preliminary analysis of Bennu, and of course the extensive analysis of Grugu sample by the Hayabusa 2 team, it's completely different than what we see on the planet Mars. I almost call it the asteroid Mars. Sorry, planet Mars.
Yeah. All right, we're looking at the early stages, just the stuff that spilled out. Get that. You unscrew a canister, falls all over your feet. There's the material inside you're looking for. What are you searching for, Harold? What will tell you that you're a success or less than a success in the sample inside?
Well, two things I'll comment on that. Plus, it was a lot, but it didn't spill on our feet, fortunately. So the success from at least the science point of view is already there, right? We already have sample and we're analyzing. And at this point in time, we have about a fifth or so of the sample outside of the main container that all of Hayabusa 2 sample was, the total of Hayabusa 2 sample. And now we'll be opening up the main collector, hopefully next week, and we'll be able to start looking at the diversity, if there is diversity in the sample that's inside that collector. It may not all be the same as what we have on the outside, so we have to keep that in mind. It may be slightly different. We're going to find out. We're going to come back and talk to you about it for sure.
And the other contents that we have, what should be there? We have carbon, we have water, we have organic materials. Does that mean sulfur? Does that mean iron? Does that mean heavier elements?
Right. We have confirmation of sulfur, yes. We actually have sulfur-rich minerals. That was discussed as well. And we have at least iron bound to the minerals at this point, and or as another mineral called magnetite. So we are really looking in more detail for the entire gambit of what we expect to see from a carbonaceous meteorite.
If I remember correctly, then, you have the suggestion of the elements that I was taught this, Harold. You need water. You need liquid water in some form. You need a source of energy, heat, something.
Correct.
Gravity will do
Correct.
It. And you need rocks because that's food. Do you have, is that what we're looking for? Those three elements in some magical formula?
Well, that's exactly right. I'll put it to you slightly differently in that everybody sort of knows that in order to understand or to have life as we know it, we need carbon, we need water, we need oxygen, so we need nitrogen, we need an atmosphere. But all that requires that we need a planet. And a planet is, in this case, Earth-like, is a rock. So absolutely, we're studying the whole aspect of it, from building a planet to its actual evolution for where life became possible.
David, you have a question.
Yeah, I'd like to ask you about the process that you used to get the sample back. Did it work to your satisfaction? If you did this again, would you use the same sample return process or would there be changes in it?
I think from an engineering point of view, for OSIRIS-REx, our mechanism worked brilliantly. And I would say from the point of view of Hayabusa 2, because I was a member of that team, that mechanism also worked brilliantly. They're two different kinds of mechanisms, but they collected sample. And of course, what we learned about asteroid Bennu by collecting with our TAGSAM touch and go sample acquisition mechanism on OSIRIS-REx was that we penetrated through the surface about 48 centimeters. And these asteroids, these rubble pile asteroids, are mostly held together by gravity. And that was also equally as exciting as collecting the sample.
For some time now, I've learned that samples of asteroids and samples of objects that come from the Kuiper Belt contain elements that are the primary solar system, the building blocks not of only of life, but also of our planets. Is that what we're looking at in Bennu, Harold?
Correct, sir. Correct. Yes, as we analyze more and more, soon we'll have a bulk elemental composition of the material, and we will know it in comparison to the standard, which is the elemental composition of the sun's photosphere, which most closely is matched by what we call CI chondrites. Exactly. You got it.
So this is what was there when we were a cloud around the sun forming into planets.
Correct. And that's something you can hold in your hand. Exactly. Still blows my mind today. And I've been studying it for 30 years. You got it.
David, a quick question and we're done.
So I'm understanding that this none of this composition deteriorates and it stays the same as from its time of origin to when you got the samples?
Apart from being processed by impacts that occur, right? or the radiation that's coming from background cosmic rays or the sun, which does damage the surface of the minerals. But by and large, correct. It remains exactly the same as when it was finished forming 4.5 billion years ago.
Bennu is a time machine. Sample from Bennu will take us back, as the professor says, 4.5 billion years to the beginning of our lucky solar system. Harold Connolly is a professor at Rowan University. He is mission sample scientist Osiris Rex. Bennu is the subject to be studied. David Livingston, Dr. Space of the Space Show. This is Hotel Mars Episode N. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.